Yeah, after I left the podcast yesterday, I got straight in the car and called my lawyer. I have something to say to the people of Grand Slam. Dear Kyle and fans of Grand Slam, I am sorry.
From the hushed anticipation of the track to the chaotic camaraderie of confession, a new chapter unfolds. Last weekend, we witnessed George's opener in the 5,000 metres at Sound Running. A crucible where grit meets glory.
I mean, that's how the fake is. It got real hard after that.
This week, prepare for revelations as one whore faces the music. A mea culpa whispered to the very airwaves that carry the voices of Kyle Membrane, Commissioner Gordon, and Grand Slam. As the digital arena of public opinion rages, how will the members of Coffee Club react to the audacious declarations of Josh Kerr?
Why do Coffee Club seem to be hating on you so much these days?
Because I get clicks.
Find out on the Coffee Club podcast.
Coffee Club, grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus, it's them. Boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 188. Today, we have a super, super duper exciting episode for you guys. So strap in. We're going to start off with a little bean shout out from California.
Da-da-da. I had a couple of lovely bags of beans. And I know that because I've already tried both of them. And I was quite excited to get them. Two bags of beans from the track. One at pre-meet. I'm trying to remember which one was which. This was pre-meet. This was from Adam. And actually is from a shop in Canada run by an Australian. It said.
Well, let's go.
This guy helped start an Aussie coffee shop in Canada. In Guelph. He gave me a pronunciation.
University of Guelph.
Wait, is that a thing?
Mm-hmm. They had a good team at one point.
Really?
They probably still do. Somewhere in Canada.
And these ones are... where are they from? Found. Maybe? Found coffee? And it's a 250 gram bag.
That's how you know
it's legit. And it has the roast date on it. 512, that was like 10 days ago.
Fresh.
They also, you'd like this bit. It says, I dialed it in at 19.5 grams in, 41 grams out, in 25 seconds on my LMLM, which I'm assuming is Lamazoco Linear. Well, it could be mini or micro.
Wait, what was the first bit? No, he dials in at 19?
19.5 grams in, which sounds low for Lamazoco.
That's low. It's Lamazoco, 21, but you can, I reckon you could go, if you go under 20.
Could have a slightly smaller basket though.
Yeah. But no, but if you have a 21 gram basket, you can go under 19. It's not that bad. It just depends on.
So this dude's legit.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Well, I'm going to test that theory with those beans. We'll test the calculations with those beans.
Well, you don't weigh yours though.
Yeah, I do.
You don't weigh your espresso?
I've started doing it, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah, because you've changed my machine.
Bro, leveled up.
Ollie's leveled up.
I haven't leveled up. You stayed at my place, my machine, like everything was different. So I just used what you were doing.
It was not.
Yeah, you changed the tempo. You changed the machine scheduling. It turns on at like 7:30 or something.
Wait, that still happens?
Yeah.
Well, that's
George is
nice.
Still controlling your machine.
George is literally controlling my... Oh, there's a ghost in my apartment. I don't know. Either way.
Crazy.
A ghost that's very particular about coffee. But I've been weighing... I don't weigh every shot, though. I only weigh the first... Like, if I get a new bag of beans...
That's
fair. I measure the amount I have in the cup thing. And then
what's the cup thing?
The fucking portafiller.
The grounds.
I measure the grounds.
The espresso.
No, I measure the grounds. And then I measure the espresso... And then I see the manual dial, like I say, it's 20 whatever seconds, and then it's 42 off 21. Then I'm like, okay, that's the seconds I have to hit for every time I use this machine, because then I don't change it until I get a new bag of beans, then I measure it again.
Some would call that dialing it in.
Yeah, that's I dial it in.
He dials it in,
that's
baby.
That's pretty dialed.
Like, I don't measure every shot. I just measure the first one of the first packet of beans I get, and then I do it I do it off that first thing.
Does the coffee taste any better?
No, it tastes the same. The only thing that gets better though is frothing of milk. I'm fucking nailing that shit now. Yeah, really? I've been trying to do the Swan, And that shit is fucking hard. Have you tried to do that?
I actually have. I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever done one of those.
The Swan is very cool. I feel like when I was at a lot of coffee shops in Australia, I don't know if you've experienced this in New Zealand.
I think they do like the Swan down there better.
They do the Swan a lot, I feel. I don't know. Do you think that when you go to like,
I normally ask for like more like the penis or like.
Yeah, but
like
that's special request. Do you ask for a big penis or a small penis?
It's not that different from the Swan. Really.
Yeah, true, actually. It's springing from the coffee. It's
is that rising. What you say when they ask like what kind of milk do you want? You say
penis. I
was gonna say whole milk, but like whole milk. But can I have it?
Can I have a whole milk? But can I have a shape of a phallic, please?
Yeah, that's what I request.
But anyway, we got part two of being part two.
Got these right after the race from Kerry and Coach Julie. Kelly/Rhode Island. Dude, these ones are unreal, actually. 62-hour anaerobic.
Ooh, we like the sound of that.
From Moon Goat Coffee Roasters in California, I believe.
Sounds like a trip.
Costa Mesa. And they said to give Gus a boop on the nose for them.
I will do that when I get home.
We'll give it to this Gus.
We'll give it to the studio Gus.
Boop.
And they're both delicious because I've had them the last two mornings.
Hell yeah.
This one, well, actually, it's funny that this one said dialed. This one was coming out. My shot was pulling rapidly in this. Like I need to change the grind down again. But it was already, I moved it a click finer than I normally do. And it was still coming out rapid, which it's crazy how much that changes.
Yeah, it does. It's
like just compared to these two beans, this one at like, is much coarser grind, comes out slower than this at a much finer grind.
Yeah.
So I need to dial this one. This one, not dialed yet.
As I've known through my life, not every bean is the same, right, George?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, every bean is different. You got to treat it carefully.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you so much for the beans.
Thanks for the beans, guys.
Sorry I took so long.
No, it was beautiful. Beautiful. Love getting into the weeds with boys. After that, before we start the podcast, we actually have something really important that we have to address from last week. Ollie's, I don't know if he's happy, not too happy about this, but he just has some words that he wanted to say. Is that correct?
Thanks, Morgan. Thanks for bringing it over. Yeah, after I left the podcast yesterday, I got straight in the car and called my lawyer.
Yeah.
I did receive some messages from people, some interesting messages about my remarks and related to getting slammed or being slammed or people slamming right now. So what I did was I called my lawyers, I spoke to Gus and Tom, and luckily because of nepotism, I'm still here. So Gus is obviously, you know, looking after me, but I have something to say to the people of Grand Slam.
Okay.
All right. Dear Kyle and fans of Grand Slam, I am sorry. Last week on the Coffee Club podcast, a lot of immature jokes, nicknames, and opinions I had on the Grand Slam track meet, I take full ownership and responsibility for my actions. So I wanted to take a moment to reach out to you and apologize. Pause for effect. All right. I know how much you and Commissioner Gordon are putting into it, and you are genuinely trying to shake up the sport. Shake up, emphasis. When I said I was destined to fail, when I said it was destined to fail, and taking out the 5K was really dumb, in quotes, I did not actually mean it. I probably drank too much of that peppermint tea from George's mum, and I was hallucinating a bit and not reasoning logically. Look into the camera. But when I read the comments and messages and reflect on the episode, I can see everything clearly. I see my words as offensive, and I fully regret it. If you know me, I'm a good guy. Thumbs up. I am continuing to listen, learn, and read things like books. Kyle, this is for you. You are a shining star. People like Morgan have said they don't care about your marathon times, but I always have. Look into the camera. I know you will crush it in today's mile era with the shoe technology and the sports medicine available these days. You would be a slammer for sure. The sport is lucky to have such a handsome and smart leader. That's you, Kyle. I would be so lucky to have a spot in next Grand Slam alongside Josh Kerr, Jared Nagus, and insert challenger. I swear it was just a joke, and I am a good guy and a huge fan of Grand Slam. Seriously, I have never liked any of those other track meets, like the Diamond Leagues and Trackfest. I am so sorry. Please accept my apology, and I can't wait for the next slam. Yours ever so more, Oliver Hoare. So,
wow,
that's my apology. As you can tell, it took me quite a while.
Beautifully written.
Yeah, you wrote that.
Yeah, I did.
How long did it take?
For me to write it or for my lawyers to write it? It took a couple of little brains to emerge, but Tom Wang helped me write it. So thanks, Tom.
What was the chat GPT prompt for that one?
How to get out of a sticky situation. the prompt was, my agent just messaged me and said, you might do Grand Slam LA. Please respond with an apology. ChatGPT does everything, bro.
I think that's going to make all the difference.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, we all have opinions, and we love you, Kyle, and Commissioner Gordon, and I just like stirring the pot.
We were amazed at the reception from all the fans out there as well, both on the side of Oliver and then also on the other side, which I guess was George and my side, technically.
The dark side, you mean?
But, yeah.
This is peppermint tea. What the fuck?
He's going to get high again.
Yeah, you're going to have, who knows what you'll say by the end of this one.
In about an hour from
that
now.
That apology was easy. I can just damn this.
You got plenty more apologies up your sleeve.
Mate, I reckon I could perfect that.
Yeah.
That was my first attempt as well.
That was the first time you ever read that?
Yeah. No. No, that's not true. Okay. That's not true, Kyle.
Cool. Yeah, I think you'll surely appreciate that. And I'm sure the red carpet will be rolled out for you. The future slams.
Or I'll be rolling out the red carpet for everybody else.
for it to be really believable, you're gonna have to, you know, take out all the Diamond Leagues though that you're so excited for currently.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't know if it'll be believable.
Yeah, they can go through Dathan before they go through me for that.
Smart.
Yeah, I'm just doing it because I have to, you know. Sport, you know, it's the way it is. Sorry, you're so sexy. I love you, Grand Slam.
Well, moving on. So we do have a Grand Slam this weekend.
Yeah.
First time in history that it's going to be held in Philadelphia.
Grand Slam history.
In Grand Slam history.
History, any history.
Yeah,
true. Yeah, but most importantly, Grand Slam history.
First time ever in history it's a two-day meet.
Yeah.
So that'll be very interesting to see how that plays out. Before we get into a little preview, which we are excited to preview it because we have some teammates out there racing and it's going to be very, very stacked. We're going to actually go to this past weekend, Trackfest, where we had our very own George Beamish competing as well as some of our other teammates. And it was a quite exciting meet. A lot of the great American/American-based distance runners showed out and made a great evening out there at Oxy. George, just off the bat, I believe this was your first time racing at the Occidental College track. It's a famous track it's had a lot of good meets over the years, but it's a well-loved track. How did you find it?
Round.
It's very round, isn't it?
Very round. It's not
a traditional track then.
Short straights.
It is. It's a very nice looking university.
Oh, it's definitely a fancy little.
Did we already talk last week how Obama went there?
No, did not say that.
I found that out like a few days before the race.
What, just a visit or?
No, straight
he
up.
He ran there.
Alum.
He raced there.
He was on the track team.
Dude, like the Benjamin Franklin mile, we could have like the Barack Obama mile at the Oxy.
Like basically should rename Trackfest Obama Fest, I think.
That'd be pretty sick, actually.
Yeah, pretty sure he ran track at Oxy.
I could see it.
First part might not sure.
It might is Oxy, that. What's Oxy? Is it after something?
Like, say again?
Why is it named Oxy?
Like oxymoron?
Well, like Oxycontin? Like I'm trying to figure out what...
It is short for Occidental.
What's Occidental?
It's a great question.
Nobody knows.
Really? Yeah. I was just curious. That was a genuine Ollie curiosity.
Yeah, question. I don't know what Occidental means. It sounds kind of like something to do with magic.
Yeah. It does sound like a witchcraft. Kind of like a Hogwarts or something.
I don't know what the mages are there, but maybe it is something to do with that.
But it is a cool name, isn't it? Oxy. I'm going to go run an Oxy.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
It sounds like a drug, is it not?
It has like
Oxycontin. Yeah, that's what I mentioned before.
Yeah, that's true. The warm-up is not great, I'll be honest. You probably remember.
The streets.
And they're freaking hilly, actually.
Hilly streets.
Hilly. I mean, California is known for some hills.
But track's lovely. It was very hot and sunny for pre-meet. 75 and sunny every single day. Your classic LA situation, and pre-meet was a very small window, so just every single person on the track, and I feel like at a track fest, it's just like, yeah, every single person based in the US.
It's a party.
So it is.
It is a festival, as they say.
It's just a little fest.
Yeah, a little fest.
Yeah, so catching up with lots of people we know from around the place.
Was Michael there?
He was not. Well,
so not everybody.
Yeah, not everybody.
I guess it wasn't that much of a fest missing. Then.
There were some Smith athletes, but he's still on the job for 2 more weeks.
What job is that? Oh, NAU, yeah.
So,
yeah.
True.
The countdown's on.
Yeah. Sorry, we haven't had a check-in for our Mike Smith counter for quite a while.
I wonder how he had been doing.
Because we were above 50%. Maybe we were even well beyond 50%.
I think 42 or 33%.
But I hope that we're still above 50%. Sorry.
So got out there, did a pre-meet as you do. What else do we do? Glendale was kind of a shithole, not gonna lie, which is, I don't actually know. Maybe that's not where Occidental is, but it was where we were staying, like 10 minutes away.
Shout out Glendale.
Yeah.
Glendale,
sorry.
Community college. Shout out.
Sorry to
isn't
those.
That, isn't the show Community?
Yeah.
Isn't
I think it's from Glendale. I think it's set at Glendale.
Actually? That's like my favorite show.
I honestly think Community said Glendale. That's why I was like, wait, that sounds familiar.
Shout out
to Community.
I saw on Google Maps there was Glendale Community College. Yeah,
that's
right. I need to fact check this. You keep going.
I apologize to anyone in Glendale. We found some decent coffee, but it was a bit shit compared to Sound Running Orange County, Dana Point.
Yeah. But the thing is that LA is just a sprawl and it's got all the little pockets. So
yeah,
I can tell you there are some really cool pockets around there.
We went like 10 minutes south towards this other town and it was sweet. Yeah. Like really cool street. So yeah, there are some, I like LA in general, but there are some shitty spots, but that's like every city.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think, You can't have, you know, the good, but you have the good with the bad with the exactly. City stuff. I mean, but it's not as your favorite city is New York. I thought you love New York.
Anyway, except the main development was that by the time I got there on Friday, I had changed events.
Yeah, I texted Morgan because
Ollie was shook.
I was shook because I was like excited for Jordy hitting the Stipelli. And I see on the coffee club thing, it's like, George, 5K, 850, PTSD or whatever. And then I texted.
Did you say PTSD?
Yeah, that's the time zone.
No, it is.
That is the
correct
time zone.
That's the correct time zone, PTSD.
Yeah.
And then I text Morgan, I CC T-Wing. And then I said, hey, did I hallucinate that whole show? Is Jordy running the 5K or the steeple? Like,
the
I'm actually.
Preview.
But I don't remember. And then they're like, no, he's running the 5K, but he did preview the steeple. He just changed last minute. And I was like, oh, damn. I was looking forward to a steeple. But 5K from George, it's his favorite event. Maybe the arch nemesis of George as well in some ways, because you did run like 37 5K.
The only event that he likes more is probably the 10K.
The 10K is probably up there. But
that's
like
the top.
If the arch nemesis had a baby, then it's the 5K. And Jordy was wrestling with that baby. In Oxy, so I was excited to see that.
But we did have, it was cool because we already had Kai and Dylan racing it as well. Yeah. So you did get to go in with a little team.
Yeah, you had a squad.
It's just getting a little bit of FOMO from with the boys out there.
Particularly those two.
Yeah, exactly. No, there was, I decided on Thursday that the switch was going to happen after a big preview. Just trying to give Kung Fu Kenneth
I was going to say,
just give him a little scare.
The new nickname was gaining too much traction. He's getting too powerful.
Kung Fu Kenneth?
Yeah. He's getting too popular.
I did see him do a video about talking about the steeplechase.
Yeah.
Recently, and it was riveting.
Was it?
Yeah, I kind of wanted you to do something similar.
You're going to have to show me then.
I'll show you the video. Yeah.
No, well, in truth, I was having just a little bit of ankle irritation jumping over things in the weeks leading up. And hurdling on Tuesday just didn't feel as good as I wanted it to on said ankle. So I just didn't want to take the extra risk, but the prep had already been done to race and I was already kind of going. So I was like, you know what? Why don't we still race, but we just take out the barriers.
And go 2 more Ks.
And go 2 more Ks in my favorite event. And I didn't get...
Second favorite event
after not being able to do one in Boston. Skipping the Boston one. So and my rule is
the free PB right there as well. You just skip the free PB.
1 5K per year, either in Boston or at night in LA. Those are my
That's actually a really good
5K option.
So awesome. Done for the year. I can already just let everyone know to either Boston or LA next year. So.
All right, put it in your calendar, guys.
That's on the calendar. And I was actually quite excited. Been doing quite a lot of training with Kai and Dylan. They're in super good shape. And although, you know, most of the big workouts had been hurdle specific, we still do quite a lot of running to get fit for going flat. So, no, I was excited to have a crack. And the 5K field was definitely the best field out there, probably.
Yeah, definitely.
It was big. Had heaps of good people.
Well, I don't know. It was being touted. We know how fit our boys are, Kai and Dylan, and they both are still chasing the standard. And pretty much everyone, except for like 4 people, are chasing the standard in these distance events, like in America, in the 5K. Everyone's trying to break 13. Sure. So it was a situation of a ton of really good, talented guys going out there all with the same goal. And you guys were fortunate to actually have some really good pacemaking in the form of Craig Rideangles, I believe, was the first one. And then...
Neil Gooley.
Yeah, like, hard to get a much better pacemaker, honestly, than like Neil Gooley. So I think, at least going into it, I imagine everyone was like, yeah, let's go do this thing. Yeah,
that was definitely thinking. And I think on paper, it looked like more people could have done what Lalo did, which shows you how hard it is to do that. Shout out to Lalo. Absolutely incredible race.
Yeah, let's talk about
got race. The dub in 12:58 after, but it felt like it could have been 5 or 10 people racing it in to run sub 13. Or that, like, that's the dream, you know. You'll go there, you'll break 13 is a big race, which
PBs.
In some ways is like what Morgan's race was last year, where it was like a full, there was like 10 guys at the bell running. In reality, that field was like literally chipped a guy.
Everyone was like a 12:40 guy in that.
Yeah.
Run,
turns out that was the difference. Yeah. and instead of a bunch of chumps like us, and one guy had an absolute cracker. So
I think
the dream was to have a race like Morgan's. Instead, we got this one, which was still good.
Yeah, it's just like the thing is, everyone always wants the standard. No one wants to settle for rankings. And like the point of a meet like this specifically was the ranking of the meet?
I think it's bronze.
It's bronze.
So you get a couple.
You get points, but it's more like, yeah, let's go get the standard, especially you go out to California because generally the weather is like pretty solid there and you can go get it.
But, and it was.
Yeah.
9 p.m. in LA, it was beautiful conditions. No excuses there.
It's just like if you're literally in 12:59 shape, that's one thing. Going and running 12:59 is another thing. And I think the 5K is, I think every event is like this, but I think things have just been, especially in like the way that people are able to run the 1500 now, I think it kind of makes expectations, it warps them a little bit. Like I think not that many people can actually realistically go out and just like run a PB. And the 5K especially, I think it's even harder in the 1500 just because it's a bit longer to run a PB. Like you need more stars to align, I guess I would say. And yeah, as George is is saying is like, if you're literally in 12:59 shape, you want to be in a race where people are running 12:55 or maybe even quicker and towing you along. Like, you don't want it to, there is a fine line though, because at that level, you don't want to go out too quick. Otherwise, like, you blow up. But if you have to fight for it and you have to lead, it's just hard. And then there's such little margin for error. Like 13 minutes for the 5K is, I think, 62 something, which is going through 3K in 7:48, I think, something like that. And so it's just like, if you're a little bit slow, if you're running 64s, which is still very fast, or too many 63s, it's like you can lose seconds, and then you need to do what Lalo did to make that up. And Lalo's performance, he closed, I think it was like a 1:56 last 800. If you just watch the race, you don't even need to know the time. You watch him and you're like, wow, it's not to say that it's like a once in a lifetime type performance, but it's like, that's a fucking amazing performance. You can just tell by watching it. And that's not going to happen to every single person on any given night. So
yeah,
it's just hard to go break 13 in these races.
It really is.
It's objectively the hardest standard by far.
Yeah, maybe the 10K would be the other one that could compete with
just,
it.
The margin for error just gets bigger and bigger, like a few laps off, and all of a sudden it just feels pretty out of reach. And but I mean, maybe that was the perfect setup for Lalo in terms of we were out way slower than 13 minute pace. Like Lalo went through in 7:55.
Yeah.
And then 7:55 must have been 5:03 for the 2K and 4 minutes for the 1600.
Something like that.
Which
yeah.
is pretty damn good. And he was back with me, I swear, at 2 miles. I mean, because it was a long freaking line of guys, which it was actually very hard to find a spot in line at the beginning if you didn't get out, if you didn't get off the line hard, or if you weren't on the outside. Like, it was a competitive top 10 to get it of single file to get in line. And I ended up probably 15th. Maybe further back than that. But I know Lalo was kind of around me.
See, I kind of liked your spot because I saw you were near Sean and Woody. I was like, okay, these guys...
I think so,
these
yeah.
guys know how to run a 5K. They're going to close hard. That's how George would want to run a 5K.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had, like, we know Kai. Kai likes to run strong. He actually was not right at the front until more like 2 miles as well as like when he really went up to the front. We had yeah. Dylan. Like, you could tell everyone was switched on to try and get the standard because Dylan was making moves early. Got to give a big shout out to Tommy Ratcliffe, man. He was pushing it. And like, unfortunately, I think he paid for it a little bit in the last lap or two. But he was pushing for it behind the pacemaker because you guys did have wave lights as well. So
we did.
Dude, having wave lights in a 5K is hard because when you do start slipping off them, it's like...
Once they get away, it's fucking demoralizing.
They get away real quick.
And then once you catch them, like there's a video of Lalo coming around and he like goes past them and his face just like lights up. Yeah. It's like, fuck yeah. But when they're out in front of you and...
Because they didn't slow down.
No, they sped up, in fact.
Oh, really?
Because the plan was to run... I think the lights were at 7:50. They must have been 7:52 for Neil. And then... I don't know what they were going to do, but they were speeding up to hit 13 minutes once. So right at 3K, the lights sped up and gapped everyone, basically.
Dropped them.
But we ran a couple of hard laps. I felt great at 3K, even 2 miles, maybe even another lap, maybe because we were running, like I was also 7:55. So I must have been like right next to Lalo. I remember seeing him a few times. And thinking like, this is comfy. Like, knowing we weren't running fast yet, but it was pretty comfy. But I mean, that's how the 5K is. It got real hard after that. Like, when I saw the first lap I looked at was like 6 to go, I was like, yeah, this feels good. Like, I'm happy here. 5 to go, also pretty good. 4 to go, I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
But it's got really hard.
There's a couple of laps.
And then we ran some 64s. I think I ran 3 64s in a row after that, which is where those 10 seconds went. But it was still like, and that was maybe a little bit of like, that is my preferable way to go out, maybe closer to 7:55 and run hard. But man, there were like, I was 15 to 20 and I finished, well, I think I came seventh. Like, there were a lot of people to go around,
mm-hmm.
which is like a good momentum builder in those few laps, but it also like it is kind of hard to just keep covering moves in those few laps when it's already hard. Like you're already hurting trying to run 62s and then having to go around people, you know, every 20, I don't know, 50 meters or something, just like one person ticking them off. And seeing Lalo fucking booking it up front. That was a good view from there.
Did you notice Olin?
Yes, unfortunately. I remember him blowing by me with like 1200.
Yeah.
I think he ran like a 58 with like three laps to go.
I think his second last lap was a 58.
Or maybe it was second last.
Second last.
And it seemed like, unfortunately, he pulled a Kai Robinson from indoors and actually lots of other people and miscounted laps.
Yeah. He still closed in a 68.
Yeah.
And ran a very, I think he ran around 13.10, like 13.13 or something.
Yeah, I think he did. Just over 13.10 maybe.
So actually very respectable considering he went one lap too early. But
do you remember when Lopez did that?
Yes.
At Stanford? And actually, but like, and full on like stopped running and celebrated.
And he still ran quick, but that's back when the standard was like 13.20 as well. Yeah.
I think he still ran. I don't want to say a number. That's not true. Yeah. I wanted to say like 13.07 or something still.
I don't know if it's, I don't know. I don't think it was that quick, but maybe it was.
I also don't know. I'm 50-50 on that one.
But yeah, Lalo's race was, remind me, like there's some, has been some legendary like US-based distance races that have like around 13-minute 5Ks, like at Peyton Jordan stuff back in the day where some people just pop off, and remind me of that, like watching, have you, like Ben True and Hassan Mead back in the day, stuff like that. So it was cool to see. Kai ended up finishing second in 13.05, so like a frustrating to be four or five seconds off what he wanted to be. But I know like they'll go and have more opportunities. He's actually racing this week in Philly, which is going to be sick. Dylan was a bit back, but he had a bit of a sore back or glutes in the end by the time the race came around, so it was a bit tough. But yeah, it was...
It felt like a lot of those people were like not as far off as the time makes it seem. Like Kai closed in, I think his last lap, I think he was hurting, maybe he closed in 61, but closing in 56 is not unrealistic in a 5K.
No, not at all.
One lap away from the standard, basically.
Those are like those fine margins. Like,
and even like, I mean, I ran 13.09, which I was not unhappy with. Like from someone offered that to me, if like in January when I started running, in May, like, fuck, I'd take it. Happy to take positives out of it. But even that, I feel like just feeling slightly better with like 1200 to go, like for two laps running, like, and then really getting after it the last lap.
Just doing what Lalo
because
did,
you're slightly, but even like having a huge last lap because the two laps before that, you felt like you weren't dropping off slightly. And then there's like, it didn't feel as far away as, it looks on paper.
It's definitely not. It's really not. It's like,
but doing it is, yeah, like we always talk about the 5K. Making it actually happen is fucking hard. So,
So yeah.
But
Daniel 5K.
Yeah, I think it's a good point to start the steeple season, hopefully. And I mean, yeah, it's slower than I ran in Boston last year, but I think we're always super geared up indoors, like after those indoor track workouts we do. And, you know, 6 weeks after I ran that in Boston last year, like I was in, you know, in shape to win Worlds. So I feel like that's a good spot to be now. Like I feel like it's a similar-ish performance, and I think bodes well for 3,000 meters. So yeah, I'm happy with it.
Very nice, as you should be. It's going to be exciting to see how that translates into the steeple. Speaking of the steeple, we did have Kung Fu Kenneth as we mentioned him already getting the dub there, 8:14. I didn't actually watch the race.
Pretty classic Kung Fu Kenneth. Just took off. Would have had terrible odds if you could have put money on him to win that race. Would have made absolutely no money.
Yeah.
He's a class above everyone in the US currently.
Yeah. So he crushed it, and then from our team, we had Sage went, well, is it rude to say someone went like boss bitch? Is that rude?
That sounds like a compliment, doesn't it?
It's definitely, I mean, as a compliment.
I can't deal with any more controversies. So you guys, can you say it all? You guys just say what you need to say. And I'll just say,
so Sage girl, bossed. Is saying someone girl bosses something insulting?
That's insulting to everyone else, maybe. No.
Yeah, well, that's like a thing, right? Girl bossing something?
Yeah. But I'm not saying anything.
Ollie has to run his comments by his lawyer.
We're going to speak to I'm just saying she bossed the 800.
Before he talks to them.
159. Santa ran 204 to open up the season. And it was a bit tough for her, but considering where she's at in terms of training coming off her little Achilles stuff, like post indoors, good spot. She's about to head over to Europe and race in the Rome Diamond League like some of our other teammates very soon. So that's exciting. Still like a decent spot for her. We had Mario in the 1500 who didn't have the best race, but he's also about to head over to Europe and do a bunch more racing as well. So we're excited to see him progress from there. So yeah, that was our team out in LA at the Trackfest.
Other highlights? Lyndon Hall absolutely crushed the women's 5K.
Second fastest all time.
14:48 or something?
She was like 42.
Wait, was she? Low 40. Or maybe second place was 48.
Yeah. 43, I think.
Yeah, fucking out. Like, that's amazing.
Low 40s.
She was so far ahead of the lights. That's what I remember watching her.
She's like a very strong front runner. Like she looked amazing doing it. And yeah, that race, it's crazy how the women race so different from the men. Like how they have that ability to be able to just like, it's not soloing it, but it's pretty much like they can just, I don't know, do it. And
girl bossing it.
Yeah, they just do that. You're in trouble.
Yeah, it's
good to see Jake Whitecastle back in pretty good form.
That looked a bit too easy for Jake, to be honest.
You reckon?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think just from my little 1500 meter scoop, watching Jake and also seeing, I mean, his progression, what he's been going through with his injuries and niggles, he is like overqualified now, I think, with...
Overqualified for Trackfest?
For his fitness and the way he's executing races, you can tell he's ready for the big ones. So yeah, it's really exciting to see. He looked very, very in control of that whole race. And when you see Jake like that, it's very dangerous.
That's coming from Scotland too. Now he's going to flag until pre. Yeah. So
by for
time,
real?
Yeah, by the time he's he gets like, to... Pre, he's going to be a.
He's going to be either in savage. 340 shape or he's going to be injured. So stay I reckon tuned. I reckon he'll be in 340 shape, touch wood, because Jake's ready for a comeback tour. I can imagine. Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of crazy he's doing that. Like, rather than he's just not doing any of those European races, he's doing a delayed American stand. I like that. I do like that. It's a good way to do it.
That was the message I was getting.
Yeah, cool. So, yeah, that was Trackfest. Good time. Hope you guys enjoyed watching it on wherever you watched it. I know where I watched it.
The Discord?
Yep.
Yeah, that's where I watched it as well. That's where I watched
Shout
it.
Shout out to Discord.
Shout out to the Discord because I was like looking it up. I was like, oh.
Speaking of watching stuff on the Discord, we have the Grand Slam coming up. I think I actually watched this one on NBC, Peacock or whatever it's on.
Peacocking it?
Yeah, I might peacock this one. Yeah. Grand Slam Philly.
Round three.
We're so excited for 2 days of track action. We got all the great events. Except the 5K. They took that one out and they made it 2 days. And
they
refunded people's tickets, probably.
What about, so if you're the distance, you're only making 50K, correct?
Yeah.
It's not 100K for one race. It's 50K for one race.
Exactly.
All right.
And the other 50K.
There's going to be absolute.
Where's the other 50K going?
There's
going
to be fucking riots in the streets.
Just Kyle maybe? Or
from the distance runners.
They should do a 3K for the 50K, and then they should do a beer mile
for the other 50.
For the other 50K, yeah.
Wouldn't that be exciting?
Shit, that is a good idea.
So
Ollie's on to something.
And then everybody can compete.
Dude, they gotta hire you, man.
Everyone could compete. Well, I just sent in my resume. It was an apology letter to Carl.
That's actually what that was, right?
Yeah,
there.
That was a resume.
They could have a media beer, get someone to do a beer mile.
Yeah, but you want the athletes winning the prize.
That's true.
Still call it like men's and women's long distance, even though it's just a 3K now? Does that count?
I think they still call it men's and women's.
I think you're still the long distance slam champ.
I guess it's all relative.
Technically, also, you won't be able to win the overall slam champ because you still have less points, right?
True.
They already weren't going to do that, though, because...
Oh, yeah. Well...
Allison and Dos Santos are unbeaten, so they've already got too many points.
Ah. And Kenny, yeah. So true. It was going to be hard, and, but... Yeah.
What about McLaughlin? She's unbeaten too, isn't she?
Yeah, but there's one of each.
One on each side.
One on each. Yeah, I don't know why I said one of each.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. What was the other lady you said?
Kung Fu Kenny.
Yeah.
And Dos Santos and Sydney have not lost a race.
So is there anybody else on the women's side that have lost a race?
I don't think so.
They're not lost a race?
I don't think so.
In the sprints or anything like that? Okay.
Not in my recollection, but, you know, what do I know? So
not in my expert analysis.
So looking at these 3K fields, it is what they have done successfully, and we kind of predicted it would go like this. The fields are getting slightly more spicy, the distance fields specifically, I would say. They're heating up a little bit. No disrespect to the first couple of meets. Shout out to Dylan Jacobs and all those that attended. They've been amazing the whole time, but the level is super high for this one. And we're very excited that representing our team on the men's side. Actually, we have representation on both in the men's and women's 3K fields. We have Kai and Josette going out there, so it's going to be absolutely sick. The men's field, though, you got Grant, Shooting Blanks, Kumoy, Andrew Koskren, Hagos Gebruet, Nico, Kai, and Edwin Kurgat. So it's pretty fucking stacked.
Koskren's back.
He's back.
Because he's coming for that 3K double
game. I did love going around him with 80 meters to go.
I forgot that he was in your race. I forgot about that. Wow, I did.
Knowing that he was... He's
been slammed?
Yeah, he was slammed. Well, not slammed champ.
Apparently he said to Dylan, he was like, hey, sorry, at the end I was being a roadblock. And then Dylan's like, trust me, bro, I was being more of a roadblock as well.
It is. That's where you kind of see, like, it is pretty big deal that they've chosen to go with the 3K rather than a 5K. I would say, like, it changes the dynamic for someone like Koskren a lot.
Do you reckon they've done the 3K more than the 5K because Grant could probably get beaten easier than the 3K than the 5K? Like, Grant's probably harder to beat.
I reckon 5K. That's a part of it.
Because, like, I think the 3K
I think they chose it as
to save time.
I think in general, they would assume the crowd would prefer the 3K.
But maybe because it's a better race though, like what he's saying.
Is it because it's mostly a sprint crowd, you think?
I thought you were saying just because you think that Grant could get beaten easier. I don't think that's what they thought.
Well, because Grant has been beaten before with Cozzy, and Cozzy's in this and it's a 3K, I would think maybe they're trying to make it more competitive.
That's what I think they should be doing.
Make it more chances, like put more pressure on Grant, because Grant in the 5K, I mean, Grant in general looks unbeatable, but he has been beaten in the 3K. So
yes, the thing is, the fact that it's only one race, I think even if it was a 5K and you have Hagos back in there, I think a 5K would be really exciting as well.
That is true.
With this field. But I think a 3K...
There's no Dylan Jacobs. He's been dreaming about him. But he has been dreaming about him.
I do think with this field, a 3K is even more unpredictable.
I think it's going to be very cool. But I also think there's almost no chance it's 8:17 again.
I was going to say, it's a bubble below 8.
One race, Hagos is back. He wasn't in Miami. He skipped Miami.
Correct.
Hagos one race. He's going for the world record in a few weeks.
Well, little tune up
for.
Yeah, do you think it's going to be a bubble below 8 minutes, George?
Below, easy.
7:30.
I reckon it's going to be 8:00.
I wonder what the over under is.
8:01, and I reckon.
Can you beat an over under? That's
one time.
I reckon it's going to be 8:01.
That'd be really fun.
I think Kai's going to win.
I think under 7:50.
Yeah, I think it's like 7:35.
I think I could see that easily. But I'm being conservative and saying at least 7:40 something. Like
8:01, Kai Robinson's winning.
That's a good prediction.
Massive fall in the middle of the race, Kai Robinson wins.
Who causes it?
Who causes it? Graham Blanks.
Oh, man. Blanks
starts taking people out. Kai comes around the outside, 8:01, win for Kai.
I think Nico has been looking absolutely savage.
What a shock. What a shock. Jordy Beamish. Yeah. Who coaches Mike Smith's fucking athlete?
Just so we could bring Jesus Mike Smith Christ. Back up, I'm taking Nico Young in 7:42.
Really?
Oh my God. What a shock, bro. I'm shook.
I'm taking Grant in 7:27.
All right. I'm taking Kai 8:01.
I just don't see why Hagos is not trying to run 7:30.
Well, it makes no sense. Like, if he wants to win, why does he not go? Why does he just wait around?
His 5K world record pace in a few weeks is 7:30. It's about 7:33.
Yeah, you can just round to 7:30.
Yeah.
Essentially is that. And the thing is, the difference with this race for Grant is if he goes, Graham Blanks and Nico are going with him. I believe. Like, I don't think that, I don't think that.
Oh, like what happened in the 5K?
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone will.
No, I agree. Like, Kai's going with him for
Kai,
sure.
Kai loves a hot Kerga, early pace.
Like, yeah, I think that this field is going to push each other to sub 7:30. Mm. But maybe.
Sub 7:30. All right.
Nah, massive 4:01. Kai wins. You guys are going to be coming back to me in a week and being like, holy shit, Ollie, you predicted.
I do think Kai will pop off, though. I think this type of field is where he will thrive if he's feeling up to it, if he's feeling good. So, yeah, it'll be sick.
Sweet. How about women's 3K?
So, this one is freaking spicy as well. Oh, my God. We got Ngetich, Taye coming back, Sige.
Did she win in Jamaica?
Yeah, she won. She won both of them, I think, in Jamaica. Mm.
Yeah, that's double. Right. She's really good.
Aisa, who is that? Do I know who that is? Based off the last name, I'm not sure. Cranny, Wainey is in this one. Tanaka and Josette.
Wainey's running,
so it's going to be sick.
Okay. That'd be great. I think this finally will suit Elise much better than the last two.
Yeah.
1 3K, not as tiring.
We'll see. Last time they ran a 3K, I think they went out in about 8 minute pace or quicker. So we'll see what happens this time.
We'll see how it unfolds.
They did almost run faster than the men in Miami. Mm-hmm. The women were like 8:20 something and the men were only like 8:17.
All right, prediction 8:01, Josette Norris, massive fall.
Same result.
8:01, Sige and Josette battle for the win. Massive fall.
This is Medina Aisa. Sorry, I do know her. She's the Ethiopian.
Oh, the really young one. She was in Miami.
Yeah. She
coaches. Oh, no prediction. I'm not sure. 8th. I don't actually know. It's going to be fast again, isn't it?
And Getich is going to make it fast. Yeah. There's no question. It's just if she holds on to it.
Yep.
I reckon
Josette 8:01. Massive fall. I'm telling you. And then Kai Robertson 8:01.
I reckon I'm massive picking Taye for the win 8:21.
8:21? 21.
Is that, what's the world? Another world record? It's like 8:10. Beatrice just ran 8:11. She didn't break it. So,
yeah, how have they not got mentioned? Beatrice was at Grand Slam.
They
crazy.
Should go for sub 8 rather than sub 4.
They actually should.
They would. That would probably Beatrice be would more attainable.
They should put faith in Beatrice in the sub 8 instead of sub 4.
I bet they could do it. Anyway, sorry, that was a side note. Continue, George.
I would be. Oh shit! I don't know. You're sticking with Josette 8:01.
8:01. Josette Norris, massive fall. Kai Robinson, 8:01. Massive fall.
I'm just excited to see what happens.
Doesn't count.
That's boring. You know why he hasn't picked one, Morgan? It's because fucking Mike doesn't coach anyone in that field.
He kind of coaches Elise and
Mike Smith. Mike Smith inspired.
Yeah, but does he really coach Elise Cruddy?
It's close. I mean, it's close.
Okay.
Were you going to pick Elise Cruddy?
I will now. Just for the shit talking. Elise Cruddy, 8:35. That's not going to be that slow.
8:31.
8:28.
All right.
Nice. Sorry, I'm looking on the Grand Slam website for just like some of the fields and I just click on it and the first, it's just so funny because it's his company. It's like the first thing, the article is US Olympic hero Michael Johnson launches Grand Slam. As soon as I get a company, I'm just going to call myself a something hero.
Wait, is this Olympic hero?
Olympic hero, which he is technically an Olympic hero.
What qualifies to be an Olympic hero?
He won gold in at home, I guess.
But that's a champion, right?
Yeah.
If you're a hero, you save something or save someone. Is he saying that he's a savior?
Maybe he is.
Savior of track and field with Grant.
He does think he's the savior of track and field.
Yeah. He didn't save the 5K though, did he, boys? I got it. Get it? He didn't save the 5K? Is this a joke? Please. Please don't hurt me.
Pull out the apology.
Please don't hurt me. I'm so weak.
I'm enjoying this these attempted predictions. So why don't we continue rolling with the men's short distance? It's going to be an exciting one. Wow, I don't know one of these names. So we have Cole Hocker, Josh Kerr, Jared Nagus, Marco Arop, Hobbs Kessler, Josh Hoey, Elliot Giles, and Samuel Chappell. Don't know who's Samuel Chappell.
Mario told me European something. 800 meter.
Is he Belgian?
800 meter like he's run 145 indoors this year and 335 maybe. I had to ask Mario. Has
Giles run Grand Slam yet? Already run it. No,
there's wrong one yet. You could pretty easily you'd get good odds on predicting a fall in this one.
Oh, shit. He said it.
Shit. Well, this is my prediction. My prediction. Because it is our dear friend, Yarinaguse's birthday, June 1st. Shit. June 1st, and it's on the 1500 Sunday. Meters. Sunday, fun day. Wow. Yarinaguse turns 26 years old. He's old as fuck. Yeah. He is going to win after a fall and run 332.45.
And the predictions aren't as fun. This actually exposes an issue with Grand Slam right here. It's like the predictions are so much harder to do right now because we have to predict two events and then we have to do the maths in our head.
I don't like doing maths.
Which it doesn't really work because you can't just predict a winner, you know what I mean?
I reckon Yara will win the 1500. I think Marco Ewart will win the 800.
And who wins overall?
Who wins the slam?
Who wins overall? Yarinaguse. Yeah, it gets like fourth or fifth.
Dude, I want to see Marco Ayrob just do better in the 1500 every single time.
What if he wins the 1500 and then it's progress. Like, everyone's like, shit, well, he's won the whole thing.
Unfortunately, this one is the second event, so.
Oh, really?
It wouldn't be.
I think Hobbs is going to run amazing, right?
Yeah. Well,
and Hoey. Hoey's going to be fucking hard to beat, man, in this format. Hobbs and Hoey are very similar athletes, and based on what we've seen in the first two Grand Slams, like...
And they're coming in fresh and excited.
Yeah, like, they should crush because they have the potential to literally win both.
What about our hero, Josh Kerr? He just did win a slam. He did slam everyone.
I think he yo-yos back to last.
You reckon he goes back and then he wins LA?
Back to Jamaica Fitness?
He goes back into Jamaica Fitness and then he wins LA. Could do that.
The level of racing is going to be so high.
And then what about Cole Hawker?
I'm waiting for Cole to just like win. You know what I mean?
I reckon this is my opinion. I reckon Cole won't win anything and then he'll go to pre and then just win everything.
And then he'll
be really good like later on in the year. Yeah, he just wins world champs.
Yeah.
I can see that. I can see that. Honestly.
Yeah, it's a long year.
It's
a long time to world champ. So
yeah. Jordy, what's your prediction? Because I don't think Mark's coaching anyone in this, is he?
Hoey trains in Flagstaff.
Oh, so maybe Hoey?
If you go to Flagstaff, you're officially trained.
Hobbs
by
also like, trains in.
I was gonna say, why is Hobbs not trained by?
My prediction is Hobbs wins both.
Right. Why doesn't
wins does both? The double? That'd yeah,
I'm saying
crazy.
Hobbs does the double.
My thing is, why is Hobbs not trained by Michael Smith?
Because he's trained by Hobbs.
Because he trains himself.
Hobbs is trained by Hobbs.
Yeah, I'm predicting Josh Hoey to win overall.
I'm predicting Yarinaguse. And you guys predicting somebody else other than their teammates is pretty disrespectful.
I don't know how the individual events are going to play out.
Well, it's going to be great. That's why it's great TV, right?
Amazing TV.
Yeah. You don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly. And then on the women's short distance, we have Weltechi, Hiltz, Hull, Mary Morar, Georgia Bell, Nia Akins, Addie Wiley, and all the way from down under, Abby Caldwell.
Oh. Addie Wiley just ran 157 in Morocco.
She did. Long way to travel.
Yeah, holy shit.
Long way to go.
So
she's sick. Fit.
I don't know how to predict this one either.
Mm.
This group has been really hard to predict because...
I did see Nikki that I thought they would win one by now and they haven't. So
2 seconds? No. Second and a third?
Maybe third.
Haven't they been second twice?
Maybe second.
Definitely
twice.
Been up there. Yeah. So maybe it's time.
But I did think they would win one by now and then this could be it. This could be Philly could be their magic.
The thing that changed really dramatically in this group between the first one and the second one was Mary Morris first
the 800
one didn't do that well, and then
and then the 800 just won.
She come last and first?
Yeah,
I think she did.
She was last in the 15, then she won the 8. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, and then she was like fourth or third in the rankings at the end. So it shows you how much winning matters. It matters to win. Only the fastest.
I do think Nikki wins overall this time.
Yeah,
because the girl from Miami's not there.
Only the fastest.
The fact that she raced last week on the other side of the planet is tough, but this is like the type of event that I could see Addie Wiley popping off at.
Yeah, I could see that. I think,
but
I
I'm going to be rooting for obviously Australia's own Abbie Caldwell.
What about Jess Hull? She's also Australian.
About her. Sorry, Jess.
For Australia's own Abbie Caldwell.
Sorry, Jess. I've been taking you for granted.
Well, Jess has also been a little bit in the middle. She hasn't like popped off yet.
Same with Collis. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's like, going to in the happen. Middle.
It's going to happen, but they're
not
they've
been
just
running.
Been,
not been running bad.
They're not running bad. They're just not running. They're not running to their potential. Whereas Josh obviously had a rough Jamaica and he went back and had a nice bath. And he was
what do you
like,
think he did in between those? No.
He probably posted some YouTube videos and got back on the saddle. He did post a recent clip about from a...
I have some clips.
The influencer where people like, he was like, yeah, I get a lot of hate from the track and field world. I'm guessing it was like a guy that's not like doing the podcast, was not in the track and field world.
We do have something to listen to later in the pod.
But yeah, he's probably just using that fuel, you know, all, from all the...
Should we just do it now? So Josh had, I don't know how it works, but obviously I think it was the last Grand Slam or when was it? He mentioned something about a podcast coming back and then he did this little thing with his friends. I don't even know exactly who they were, but
Josh Kerr team, I think.
It was the team.
Team Kerr. Has to be what it's called.
I have a couple of clips from it.
Tom Wang isn't Tom Wang's company, Wang Kerr.
It should be though, because I have some notes as well. If they need help producing their podcast, we could help them out because their audio quality.
What are we going to charge them?
Is a little bit lacking.
What are we going to charge them, Morgan?
We'll pay them. Here it is, Josh Kerr behind the Bib podcast. He had specifically had a question. Is that going through? He specifically had a question about the coffee club. And Tom sent this through yesterday.
Okay. Is it bad? Is it good or bad? Do I need to brace myself?
Nah, you just got to listen to it.
Oh, God. Here we
go. I'm so much these days.
I'll go back so you can.
In 2023, I would say.
But see, like this audio. Come on, guys. What's going on?
It's shocking.
From recruit, stride, repeat. Why do coffee clubs seem to be hitting on them so much these days?
Because I get clicks.
It was coffee clubs.
Damn, that was club. That was fucked.
Podcast, a couple of the old guys.
Dude, who are you?
I don't know. They use me in a lot of their titles. So people send it to me. But like, they don't have like chapters, so I can't like, skip to the part.
We do have chapters now. Thank you, Tom.
I don't really know what it said. However, I'm guessing because they're putting me in the title, they just think that more people are going to click on the video because they're talking about me. So I guess, oh, they're hating on? They're like, what?
But that works too, because...
I mean, everyone hates on me. That's fine. Like, I guess that's trendy.
So his response is actually like extremely reasonable, I would say.
It is funny hearing the background. Like they're just really sucking him off hard.
Yeah, I'm more
really
like these other people.
Like they're just like laughing and giggling at. But he's pretty much saying nothing. No offense to Josh. Actually, a little bit of offense because I would expect him to say, "Oh, the reason why they're hating me is because I'm running Grand Slam and I'm a medalist." Blah blah blah. Like he has a reason. There's a reason. That we bring him up all the time is that he's really good, but he's also quite irritating to watch. Like he is, right? So, I mean, that's successful because he's right. He is right with the clicks, I think.
I don't
People
know,
click on his stuff
they,
because they
sound
know.
Like, check the numbers.
They sound like they're recording in the bloody New York subway.
Yeah,
yeah,
guys,
it does
come
sound
on.
Like that.
We can fix that for you. You come to us, we sort you out, no problemo. It's not that hard.
I love those comments. Do you know those comments on TikTok and Instagram where it's like they'll watch your reel and it's like hate from Turkey or whatever or hate from Australia?
I haven't seen this.
Oh, people comment hate like just randomly. It's like somebody would just be living their life and it'd be like, oh, hate from Norway or something. We could just now every time we comment on some of that, we just got hate from Coffee Club.
So is Tom actually getting thrown some shade here for the titles?
Well, the thing is, it's not necessarily shade, I guess, because it's just marketing and it's potentially good marketing. I don't know.
Of course it is. He's one of the biggest athletes in the world. He is. He's one of the biggest athletes for track and field, middle distance, he's one of the biggest athletes.
Definitely.
But could we could just put Jingi in all our titles?
I mean, we've put Jingi in a lot of our titles.
We put Jingi in a lot of it.
Yes.
He made it into the last thumbnail.
Jingi's very hard to like get, like he's like Josh is so easy to critique. Whereas Jingi isn't. Jingi's like, oh, dude, I kind of love what he's doing. Whereas-
so we do have one more clip, which I don't know about this one, but like, I don't really know, but I think it's about his Cybertruck. But I think like we maybe just need a little palate cleanser.
All right.
So a non-Josh clip just for a second.
It's not the pain that kills you. It's the realization of pain. So you just have to turn off and not realize that you're in pain. then
the editing.
You will be able to do the things you like and do it with high quality.
I think he's Aqua Jungle.
And succeed. I just found, I just made that up. Right.
So like, okay, our listeners, you guys are listening right now. I'm hoping that you were able to compare both those clips. Who is more likable? Like, who is more likable? And who do you think, like, why do you think we give shit to one than the other, more than the other?
What do we get there? It's not the pain that kills you. It's the realization of the pain.
Yeah. Which, to be fair, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that before. No.
But I quite
He's also
like
speaking
it.
In his second language, but, you know, yeah, he's doing pretty well with it.
I thought that's spot on.
Yeah. But, like, if
you're in pain but you don't realize it, then you can just keep going.
How do you critique that? I don't know how to critique. Like, that's just, I love that content. It's great.
It's so good. It's so good. So I don't know where this last Josh Kerr clip is going to go, but I think it's very Cybertruck.
What made you start running?
Wrong clip.
To get fit for rugby.
Maybe something
easy answer. From Frojo Bag.
Shout out to Frojo.
That's a good answer. Will you do a group run in Philly? That's a good idea. I think we can do that. Jamil can.
I think he's speed running.
Next. Come on.
Also from Frojo Bag.
Oh, here we go.
Frojo Bag. Do you plan to sell your Cybertruck? Okay, it's finally happened. I can talk about this. I do not own a Cybertruck.
Isn't that the weirdest thing ever?
Yeah. You got listening by 10 after the win this weekend.
Dude, I thought that was like 80% of his personality was owning a Cybertruck.
Was also, there an explanation after
did
that?
Did you hear the lady in the background? Like, you could buy 10 after all the winnings. Did you hear what she said?
I did not hear that.
Play it again and hear the background of her. This is like them just sucking him off.
I don't think I can go back to it. It's too much.
Traveling at the time.
I'm shocked.
Oh, here we go.
I wanted to grab one. And we took one photo from one workout. And we were also filming the signing video, the YouTube video that week. I've never owned a Cybertruck, but it was a hell of a good drive. I'll say that. It was so fun.
Bro, literally in his YouTube video, talked about having a Cybertruck because all his teammates had Teslas and that he had to...
One-up them.
Yeah, so what did you say there? He rented it?
He rented it.
What a letdown.
Yeah.
Well, can we watch some more Jakob content?
Okay. Where were we going with that?
We were talking about Grand Slam getting slammed. We were talking about how we thought he would do.
Dude, I just feel shit right now.
Should we watch the Jakob one again?
Oh, that made me depressed.
Should we go back to it? I think we have to. After the show, we'll go back and watch more of it. Also, we have Sydney is competing in the short hurdles this time, which would be pretty cool, but I suspect she'll probably just fucking crush again. I don't know.
Flat 100?
Is there any people that can compete with her in the short hurdles? Like, is there any?
Definitely. The Olympic champ girl is really freaking good.
Okay, well, then she might get beaten. She might get beaten.
Miss Sai Russell?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It'll be very...
And she runs a ripping 100.
You got to tune into Grand Slam to find out. Isn't it amazing?
On Peacock, guys.
Is it on now switching events?
I don't think so.
There was rumor that Cole was going to switch to the 3K, but that didn't end up happening.
Less money.
Yeah, that's probably why.
But that, I mean, he would make a lot of sense to have done that group at some point.
Yeah, I think he would do really well.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I told you that rumor.
Jared also told me that rumor because maybe he heard it from you because he was asking me. He was like, I was really hoping Cole was doing the 3K and then he's not. So,
I mean, even like the reality is you could put half of that short distance field in the 3K and they would be extremely dangerous to win it because like Jared obviously like incur two of the medalists from World Indoors is 3K. So it's like... Mm. Yeah, they would actually absolutely crush in that event as well.
That'd be crazy with them and Grant, though.
That'd be an amazing race. They should.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
But yeah, I guess they're not going to do it now with the changes. Doesn't really make as much sense to. But yeah. So that's Grand Slam, Saturday, Sunday. Everyone go wish Jared a happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And yeah, wish him a happy 26th birthday because when we all turned 26, he taught us how old we were.
Yeah, and he makes fun of everyone. He makes fun of us being old. 25 to 26. I hope Kyle Mergaber and Commissioner Gordon do something nice for his birthday for Grand Slam. That's a hint.
Like, give him the
win. Do a little cake or something. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
He doesn't need to be given anything. He can get the win.
Yeah.
But a little cake or, I don't know,
something Goose related.
Handshake.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fair enough. So that's Grand Slam. Moving on. We have a couple of other, I think we might kind of speed run these bad boys a little bit. Some of the other events that went on last week was the Diamond League in Rabat, which there are actually many, many amazing performances, as well as Boulder. Boulder was just 2 days ago here on Monday.
In Boulder, wasn't it?
I think it was. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't notice. I couldn't tell, but.
Yeah. It just took me 45 minutes to get home from the gym.
So I didn't pay. I kind of forgot that this Diamond League was on. I'm sorry, guys. I know that George watched it. Ollie, you probably watched it all, right?
I saw the results.
You looked at the results.
I tell you what, I had to talk to Robert for about 20, 30 minutes about it because of a certain event and a certain person from his country running pretty good.
He was very excited about that.
We talked about that for a little bit. And then obviously we had, I think Jude Thomas was running the 15 and he ran very well.
He did, yeah.
He ran very, very well. He ran 33.3 or 2 or something like that. Very good, very close to standard, coming off Australia circuit. You're
coming off actually getting a dub in Tokyo. Well, no, is it not Tokyo? The Gold Prix?
Oh, yeah.
Is it?
Really? The Golden soccer? Games or something?
Yeah.
Seiko.
Was it 15 or the 5?
No, he won the 3K there.
Nice.
Yeah.
So he's running well.
He's rolling. Yeah, he's good. So good.
Yeah, I watched the last few races. Turned it on in the airport once our flight got delayed. And turn my VPN to Australia.
Well done.
Put it on YouTube. Hint, that's what everyone should be doing.
Well, let's talk about the steeple, George.
And the steeple was the last event, obviously, because Al Brock is Prince of Morocco. I
remember racing Morocco. There's like a marble marble section where the royal family sits, and he'll like run into the stands when he wins and like cuddle them and shit. It's pretty crazy.
National hero. I wonder if he's ever lost that race.
I don't think he's allowed to.
Spoiler, he didn't lose. 8-0-0 for the dub. Closely followed by
Frederick Rupert.
Freddy.
And he's an on athlete.
Yeah.
And he was in an on speed suit. He was.
Mm.
And it was freaking incredible.
He's next to Jaeger. He's like one of the first non-Africans in that time, right? Around that time.
Must be the second fastest non-African. Ever,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Because what's Evans 8 flat?
8-0-0.
And he's 8.01?
Yeah. 14 second PR. His PR was 8.15. He'd never even run the standard before.
I mean, it's sometimes just
stars aligned.
Something happens. Just all aligns.
Made me really want to do a steeple again.
That's good. That's good motivation for you, George.
He's showing it's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really kind of resets those expectations, huh?
100%.
Yeah, maybe the steeple is just finally catching up to the other events in terms of the big progression in the last like 5 years, which I don't know if the steeple has seen necessarily, apart from Germa breaking the world record. But lots of people running really good.
Crazy to see Al Bakkali back at 8 flat because... Not that like I necessarily, if I had like bet on it, I would say like he'd never do that again. But I don't know why, but I was getting a sense that like he was maybe slowing down a little bit, but I guess not.
Nope. He's speeding up.
Yeah.
I think did get beaten in China only a month ago.
Yeah.
But Suki Woki getting the standard for the US.
8.11. And 8.11. Time.
Pretty damn good. But yeah. 8.01 out of this world. Looked like he was going to catch Al Bakkali at last lap. He was flying. And I think I might race him in a few weeks.
Ooh, exciting stuff. You heard it here first.
Heard it here first.
The 1500.
I didn't watch that.
Had a winner that usually when you see 1500 wins in Diamond Leagues the past few years, it's a very familiar name. It's either got an Ingi in it. Or it's got a Whiteman or a Kerr or a Hocker.
Whore, if it's London.
Well, it depends if there's a fall. But there's a new guy running the event from the 800 up to the 15. He gets the dub, runs 331. Is Jonah
Kowich.
Kowich.
Yeah, pretty crazy. PB 3:31.43.
Very, very impressive.
Suddenly looking like a threat to the team.
Meet record, which I'm surprised by because I feel like people not actually normally run fast.
It's a great track to run fast. Maybe it just depends on stuff.
What did you guys run there?
32:33.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Jakob maybe
Jakob
won
in 32.
Yeah, maybe.
I think me, Yard, and the rest of them with 33:34.
So him going there and running 3:31 is a big statement.
Mm, definitely is. It says, hello.
I am here.
I would like to make the team.
Can I make the US team, please?
One US team
coming right up.
Yeah, it's always cool to see you mixing it up.
That might make the slam a nice and quick because you got some guys that want to make that 15 team in the slam.
Yeah.
Cole Yard, maybe even Josh and what's his name? Hobbs.
Mm-hmm.
Not Josh Kerr, Josh Huey. Josh Kerr gets an auto because he's American. He's still American.
Yeah. So, I mean, the women's 3K was absolutely bananas as well. I see, just on paper, this meet was pretty unreal. The winning times. Beatrice. Wait, why can I not see it?
Yeah, she's insane.
8:11, I believe it was. I can't see the results, but...
Nadia was second in, 8:26.
Yeah, a very, very respectable time, but just 15 seconds back.
Yeah. Did they go 1-2 at the Olympics? Yeah, 1-3. Maybe Faith was in between.
1-2 in the 10K.
Oh, yeah.
And then 1-4.
That's right.
In the 5K.
Insane.
So.
They should set Beatrice up to break that world record. Because I'm not sure that's a very favorable world record, that one.
Is it from China?
It is from China.
Yeah, from that one championships.
Do you wear contacts?
No.
Okay.
What are you seeing on?
Perfect vision.
I'm pretty sure you have perfect vision.
2012 vision.
I don't know
vision.
Why. I saw the side of your eye and it flicked back and I thought I saw a contact in there.
No. 2012 vision.
Yeah, you do have good vision. I remember in training camp, you'd be reading your book and you'd have no glasses, no nothing in the dark and you just read.
In the dark?
Yeah. In pitch black. He'd be reading. He's on a Kindle, but you know. No.
That is good
vision. You don't like books. You like Kindles. I know that about George. He likes Kindles. I like bookies.
They're practical.
I like books because then I like people coming up and going, oh, did you read this? Do you like it? I'm like, no. Just reading it for fun.
No, I'm just holding this.
Just holding it to make it look like I'm a mystery. I'm a mysterious fella. But no, sorry, side note. I thought you, yeah. Is it, Diamond League is, sorry, go.
Yeah, what's the next Diamond League?
Next Diamond League is Rome, isn't it?
You tell us.
I think so.
I think it's Rome. Is the Rome list out yet? Or do we have to wait till next week? Because I haven't checked.
I'd say next week.
Probably take a little bit of time to manifest, but it'll be cool to do a preview of that because I know there's a few people on the team that would like to go, you know, get people hyped about it.
Hell yeah.
I saw the most patriotic thing I've ever seen on Monday.
What happened?
Patriotically American. Connor Mann's getting
Oh, yeah.
Getting the dub on Memorial Day.
You said it was electric
in the last 20 meters in the CU stadium.
Yeah.
Absolutely electric. Followed by the flyover.
They ran past my house. I was on the balcony just watching Connor Mann's run past.
Did you actually see that from your balcony?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see the whole race. In the morning, I went out and I took CEO Gus out there and everyone's running and it's raining, but there's so many people running down 20th, which is the street I'm on from Pearl where they turn right onto 20th and left onto Walnut.
So now everybody knows where Ollie lives.
Everyone knows where I live.
Can you actually be a little more specific?
Yeah,
where you live?
Yeah. So in the alleyway. No, up. So we were down there with Gussie and he was going freaking bananas because he wanted to go run with everyone. But it was pretty sick seeing everyone run past and everyone was pretty happy even with the rain and terrible conditions. They were running around having a great time. I get on the balcony with Gus and we were barking and cheering on Joe Klecker running past. Who was looking, it looked hard, but he was looking strong during that section of the race. And then I just see, before that, I saw Connor Mann's. And man, I watching him run just makes me feel like he's going to fall over. I'm terrified.
How far back was he when he went past your house?
Abinio
had at least 10 or 15 seconds.
Hard to judge, but it didn't seem like, it seemed like 100 meters.
Yeah.
Probably. But the finish, you watched the finish and I watched it online because I was cheering from my place. You said that was the loudest you've ever heard it in the stadium.
Was.
Oops. Yep.
The stadium was absolutely insane. Partly because we watched the whole race on the big screen, like they put the stream up, and then like the gap's just getting smaller and smaller, the crowd's getting louder and louder. And then they come into the end of the stadium with like 200 to go, and he's just like closing the gap.
He must be running so fast.
And every single person in the stadium gets on their feet and starts like waving towels.
Right? He won.
That was three in a row.
Damn, that's so impressive.
And the thing is, he was kicking down a Benio, who, for those who don't know, that's literally the silver medalist from World Champs in the 10K.
Yeah.
Maybe Budapest.
I think.
Yeah. Like that's
in 28:20, which if you would like the NCAA conversion, apparently is like 27:10.
I believe that.
Which he's definitely making nationals, that's for sure.
He's definitely making nationals of the NCAAs.
So it was sick. He did so well. Joe came through for six, which is super good in that race. Part of his Team USA came second.
Yeah.
To, I guess, the other Team USA.
I guess Team USA was one.
Team
was
USA two. Sweep, 1-2 on the men's side.
USA, USA.
Yeah.
Happy Memorial Day, everyone.
Happy Memorial Day. It was good. And then shout out to Beamish for hosting a little horny, big horn, little afters.
Oh, the other race, you mean? The biggest race of the day?
Yeah. Dude, did you know he has like this electric bike that would be amazing on the track? You and Jenna had this bike, and I got in the back of it.
I heard about it.
And we went around, and it was pretty nice.
Took Ollie for a little spin.
Took me for a little spin, but he was the bike lead for the 800 race.
We hosted
out front.
We hosted a boulder 800.
Yep, 250 for the win. 250 smackaroos.
Who won?
Steve Jones.
It was like photo finish.
It was close.
It was electric.
It was close.
Had to get the cameras out.
Yeah. And
there was big prize money on the line.
It was great because the crowd with like the people watching was way bigger than the people participating. So everyone was going fucking nuts. It was great. And then the Amazon truck came in and was going to ruin the whole race.
It was trying to block the road.
Yeah, it was tough. And Robert Farkin also was very upset because he was like, I could have won that. I could have won it. Why? No, I should have done it. He was like in, you know, his designer jeans and shoes. And I was like, you should have done it.
Parsons did it in jeans and
Chinese.
What are those? Like, a kimono and what are those boot things? Like the waterproofy boots?
Yeah. He was sweating afterwards. He was like sitting in the courtyard like, I am so hot.
Big false start.
Yeah, massive.
From Parsoni.
Yeah, well, luckily he didn't win the race. Otherwise, we'd have had to pull him aside and said, hey, bud, you're disqualified.
So, Memorial Day, best day of the year in Boulder.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Next to the gala, obviously. But
obviously.
Should
we be hosting a race at the gala?
I was thinking of doing a beer mile next time.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. But I would like to do a beer mile where, you know how you do the cuff, bull and babe kind of thing. What you should is you should do that, but you can't, it's like Mario Kart, you can't drink and run. But you're strapped to somebody and it's like a three-legged race and you have to skull like the drink, run, skull the drink. And then when you get to the finish, it has to be empty.
So it's a beer mile with you attached to someone else.
With a drink. Yeah. I think that could be a amazing, fun, like, new game we could do. Because the beer mile is fun, but, like...
Because the beer mile is way too easy for all of us.
I think it would get way too competitive. I honestly think it would get way too competitive. It would be amazing.
I think a mile just sounds too far.
Yeah, maybe 800. 800 is a good distance. Maybe an 800 race.
Good. Oh, yeah. Well, that was this past week in athletics and this next weekend, I guess.
What a week we've got.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff. Pull out your popcorn.
Yeah, and then after this weekend, you know, the things get a little bit shaken up. A lot of the team, as we already kind of hinted at and mentioned, heading over to Europe in the next few weeks. European racing is starting for us, so we're all super excited for that. We'll be off in different places, but should still be getting the pod done together, no matter where we are in the world.
Yeah,
we'll find a way to make it work, hopefully.
We will.
So, yeah, anything else we should share with our fans? No other apologies or anything?
But we'll just wait till next week. Yeah, see what happens, and then I'll reassess, and we'll wait till next week.
Yeah. I hope there's something that comes out of this one, because that was really enjoyable.
I just want to hear the comparisons with Josh and Jingy. I just want to hear those comparisons, because, I was hoping he would answer that, that question
spicy.
With a bit more spice, a bit more jab. I thought he would jab us a little bit, saying you guys suck, but maybe he's a fan, and he's just like, I can't.
The jab was that he doesn't listen.
Can't believe it.
And then his minions behind him said, "What's Coffee Club?" Like they don't know what Coffee Club is.
She was a plant. I think.
Yeah. She was definitely an interesting player. It's like, we could buy 10 of those Cybertrucks now, Josh.
Yeah, let's be real though. If his team doesn't know what Coffee Club is, get a new fucking team, bro. Like, your team is not plugged in.
They're not in with the popularity of the Coffee Club podcast.
With the kids these days.
The kids, yeah, the young kids. For real, right, guys?
For real.
Right, guys?
Well, that's it from us for episode, I believe, 188 of the Coffee Club podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening on this week, and we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. Until then, bye-bye.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the video. Please like, comment, subscribe, and rate us 5 stars out of 5. Thank you, bye-bye.